You might notice
particular areas. You might notice just the overall landscape of how the body is feeling right now. You might notice that it's challenging at times to stay in the body, that the mind beckons us and pulls us out. Think about this, remember that, plan for the next thing, etc. As you're noticing the general landscape or even particular areas in the map of your body, can you also notice where your breath is? Allow yourself to be surprised by where your breath might be. So we have typical areas that we feel breath. It's the belly, somewhere in the chest, or at the entrance of the nostrils, but it's not always in those places. It might be something or someplace new. You might notice just a tiny, tiny little bit of breath in your back somewhere. Or maybe even in the side of your throat. Keep an eye on your breath as we do some different kinds of postures. And see how the breath shifts and changes as the feelings and the sensations in your body shift and change. So allow your eyes to open, and if you can, try to keep your gaze really soft, as if your eyes were falling towards the back of their sockets, and your eyelids lifting or just allowing in more light and then visual input from the room. And with your eyes opened, see if you can still register how your body is feeling and where your breath might be now. Maybe it hasn't altered or changed location, but just to notice. And then let's fold forward. If you're on a chair, separate your legs a little bit wider than hip distance. And if you're on the floor, you can keep your legs crossed and just walk your torso and hands forward a little bit. Either way, whether you're rolling down from the chair or falling forward on the floor, just allow your neck to hang. So that the crown of your head is, as much as possible, facing towards the floor. And as you sense what's going on in your body here, notice if it changes your breath in any way, like if the breath gets held or caught, if the breath gets more shallow or moves location, if the breath deepens. So we want to pay attention to breath and sensations as much as possible, no matter what shape or form or posture the body's in. And this helps anchor us into the present moment. So roll up real slowly. See if you can take your time so that you feel like you're stacking your vertebra, the bones of the spine, like coins, leaving the neck long. And once the crown of your head is facing the sky again, just notice how your body feels. there's a shift, a change, a resonance with every thought, every emotion, every conversation, every posture, with every moment. The body, the mind, the heart is always resonating, and the breath as well, with whatever's just happened. It's just that we don't usually touch it and notice it. So we do that now. Let's take, if we're on the floor, the left leg and straighten it. If we're on the chair, place the right ankle on your left thigh or knee. So if you're on the floor, the left leg is straightening, and you can just place the right foot on the inside of your left thigh or knee. Flex both feet. And then begin to fold over either the straight leg or the right leg. And as you're folding forward, see if you can extend from the tailbone. And if you didn't really pay attention to where you were extending from, feel free to come up and try it again. So that you want to try to get a sense of extension in the spine from some root system. And the tailbone's the beginning of the spine, so that's a perfectly good root system. But you can also extend from your sitting bones. And then again, allow your neck to hang as much as is comfortable. So you don't want to fold forward so much that you have to hold your breath. But fold forward enough to stretch your back and the legs. And then notice where your breath is resonating or is being felt now. Notice the cadence, the rhythm, even the texture of your breath, if you can. And then slowly begin to restack your spine. Place your legs in a neutral position, so that it varies whether we're on the chair or the floor. And scan the right side of your body, scan the left side of your body. What do you get? What kind of sense do you get about the difference between the two sides, not as qualitative, but quantitative? So again, we're inserting a pause to notice. And then let's switch and go to the other side. So we'll either place our left ankle on our right knee, flexing that left foot. That protects the knee. And if you're on the floor and you're straightening the right leg, if you flex the foot, it doesn't have to be a full flexion, but if you flex the foot a little bit, it activates the leg muscles. You'll get a little bit more stretch, and it's also protected above the knee. So now we'll fold forward, extending from a root system, so either the sitting bones or the tailbone. So you get a sense of the spine lengthening from some root, from some place. Allowing the neck to hang, allowing the jaw to relax, keeping the eyes soft. Maybe even checking out the space between your eyebrows and then noticing your breath. And then let's roll up again slowly. And then finding a neutral position for the legs. Again, scan left, scan right. What can you note? You might even notice that your breath has changed. Excuse me. So place your left hand on your right thigh. You can cross your legs if you're on the floor, whatever is comfortable. Or keep the legs straight. And we'll take the right hand and we'll place it behind us, somewhere around where your tailbone is. So you can be on the back of the chair, your hand can be on the floor, depending on what you're sitting on. And let's establish a root system again. You know, oftentimes we're often running without having a foundation or base. And that's mentally and emotionally as well. I want to examine that a little bit in our sit. So rather than just twisting without knowing where you're twisting from or from coming from some sort of root system, foundation, or base, feel whatever the surfaces are of your body right now that are touching the ground or are closest to the ground. And see if you can give those areas some weight. So really let the bones sink into the earth or towards the earth. And also pay attention to your belly, relax your belly. A lot of times when we think we're going somewhere, whether it's mentally, physically, or emotionally, we draw our belly up and in. It's an interesting thing to notice. And that lifts energy to the head. So settle, relax. And then it's best for the body to twist on an exhale. So when you're exhaling next, begin to just turn the navel to the right. There's no need to turn the head. So we want to isolate this twist and really feel what we're doing and where we're doing it by exhaling, turning the navel to the right, and noticing that area, the lumbar area, lower back area, belly area, twisting without too much else involved. And then when you're ready on an exhale, begin to turn your ribs to the right. Keep the middle of your chin, it's the nose, the middle of the chin, right on top of your breastbone. And that way you know that you're not turning your head before your body. And then scan or just go into the felt sense of the middle of your back, the thoracic area twisting. And also the contents, the lungs, the heart, the liver, the gallbladder, the stomach, pancreas, and spleen. All those organs and glands now are being twisted. What can you sense? And then when you're ready on an exhale, turn your collarbones to the right. Keep the shoulders relaxed. Shoulder blades fall down your back like waterfalls. See if you can soften your throat. And then if you want to, you can turn your head just a little bit more to the right. And then notice what's going on there. Now, what happens when you let go of any effort? Relax and see if it starts to automatically turn your body back to center. And if not quite, then use a little volition. Put a little tiny effort into it, letting the torso spring back, come to center. And then let's scan. Scanning the right side, scanning the left side, just noticing how they feel. And as you're scanning, if you'd like to, you can even scan with your breath. So as you move the breath along the right side, move the breath along the left side, it might feel differently. You've opened up some different windows and doors. And then let's place the right hand on the left thigh or leg somewhere. Left hand comes behind us. Notice the propensity, because we all have this, to know, okay, well, I'm going to be twisting to sort of energetically have already twisted or turned. It's great when you notice that about yourself. That's a insightful and wake up moment. And we all have these moments. You know, we're always ahead of ourselves, basically. So we settle, feel the root system, come back to the earth, back to center, relax the belly. And then intentionally, with the breath out, start turning the navel to the left. So we're turning the lower back first. And if you want, you can sweep that entire cavity, the pelvic bowl, with your breath. And even if you're not moving at all, but your body is still, you can sweep the pelvic bowl with your breath just to get a sense of what's going on in there. And then when you're ready, on an exhale, turn the rib cage to the left. Notice what's going on inside that area of your house. That area of your body. That area of your home, really. And then with an exhale, begin to turn the collarbones to the left. And if you like, you can turn the head a little bit more, twist the neck just a tiny bit more, but without putting too much muscular emphasis in anything. There's a little bit of a play between being effortful and effortless. Maintaining the structure, the form of the pose, without contracting or tightening or overdoing it or holding the breath. And then with a little bit of volition, or just by allowing, let the body turn back towards the center. Coming back to a neutral position and noticing. What does the body feel like right now? Let's try a couple of longer, slower breaths. This kind of breath technique is called the three-part breath. So let me demonstrate it with my hands, and I'll talk you through it, and then we'll try it together. So in this breath exercise, we want to imagine that we're breathing from the floor of the pelvis or from the bottom of the torso up. Now, that's not how we need to imagine breath all the time. In fact, some people imagine breath coming from the top down. Some people imagine or feel breath coming from the bottom up. You know, both are acceptable. There's no one way. But for this particular exercise, we want to imagine breath coming up. And so we're breathing up to the base of the ribs, which is where the first lobes of the lungs are. So we're going to breathe up, and then when we get to this area, you can use your hands if it's helpful. We're going to expand the rib cage as much as we can comfortably and pause and count 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Now, without exhaling, we're going to continue to bring the breath to the middle of the ribs. This is the middle area, the second lobe, in, at least on the right side. And we're going to pause and count 1, 2, 3. Now, without exhaling, so this takes a little bit of pacing, we're going to bring the breath all the way up to the tops of the lungs, right underneath the collarbones, and we're going to pause. 1, 2, 3. And then we're going to imagine that we're going to breathe all the way back out and down. Okay, so it's inhaling, here, pause, here, pause, here, pause, and then exhaling all the way back out. Okay?
What happens when you faint?
What? where you're sitting.
What happens if we faint? It's a lot of holding our breath in.
Hopefully it's not too long, and if it is, then just breathe normally. Okay, so take a breath in to here. Pause. 1, 2, 3. Up a little higher. 1, 2, 3. Up a little higher. 1, 2, 3. And then exhale completely. Okay, when you're ready, inhale. Bottom. 1, 2, 3. Middle. 1, 2, 3. And top. 1, 2, 3. And exhale all the way back out. Now try this a couple of more times at your own pace. Breathing to the bottom of the lungs, the middle of the lungs, and then the very top of the lungs. Keep your pauses, your retentions as soft as possible, as if you were breathing in bubbles and you didn't want to pop them. Really delicate, soft breath, which implies a delicate, soft body. If it's helpful to use your hands as guides, then do, and if not, that's fine. Okay, one more round. And then allow your arms and hands to come back down. And find a posture that you'd be comfortable in for the still meditation. And see if you can arrange your body somewhat like we touched into the twist and the forward bend, which is to arrange from the ground up. So we're aware of how we're placing our feet, our legs, our sitting bones, how the spine is being held or stacked, what the shoulders are doing, the arms, the hands, the neck, and the head. And so we give ourselves a start that's, you know, as aware as possible and in a position that the body can hold for a little bit of time. At least that's our intention. Allow your eyes to fully close, or you can keep your eyes rather open, gaze cast down. Either way, allow your eyes to be really super soft. Relax the corners of your eyes, the backs of your eyes, all the skin on your face, your jaw. Allow the tongue to relax in the mouth and also all the way down your throat. Do a light internal scan to notice if there's any tension in your lungs or your belly. And see if you can notice the breath and also the space that the breath is occupying. So as we venture internally to notice the breath, it might be interesting to notice the room or the area that the breath is occupying. And allow wherever you're noticing the breath, allow that area of your body to be very, very soft, very welcoming, very inviting, very relaxed. So that as you're just naturally breathing in and out, that breath can circulate a little bit more fully, reaches the nooks and crannies of the area of the body that you feel it in. Can even tickle it open somewhat. And we notice the rhythm, the cadence, the texture of the breath. We also notice how the breath affects, ripples out to the bones, muscles, skin of the body. Even if you're sensing the breath just at the nostrils, you can feel the effect that the breath has on the skin of your nose. As in the temperature, the coolness, or the heat. Or maybe you notice the rib cage is very, very lightly expanding and contracting. The very soft belly rising and falling with your breath. Intentionally allow your body to continually get softer. So the bones will hold you, but the muscles don't have to. So that our bones can support us, but all the soft tissue of the body can expand and get plump and full. So it's as if the internal space of the body gets even more capacious. Even more spacious. And we can also imagine this happening in our mind. We can imagine the mind being as wide and clear as the sky, just filled with soft space. The softer the body, the softer the mind, and the softer the heart, the more things can move through, not get caught or stuck. So we can utilize our imagination and our intention to relax the body, to relax the heart, and to relax our mind. So breath permeates the body. It's fluid. It does its own thing. We don't need to control it or step in its way at all. And as we let go, whether it's just right now in intention or eventually through direct experience, the heart that has a little bit more space and room can feel more fully and also allow things to move through. Doesn't need to shut down or protect, but can be open and receptive. And even if it's just with our imagination at this moment, when the mind is more spacious, thoughts, feelings move through like clouds. We can witness the ever-changing nature of thoughts and emotions without clamping down or pushing away, without fear arising, or at least for very long. And within the space of the mind, the space of the heart, and the space of the body, all our sense doors are wide open. We hear sounds. We feel sensations. We notice scents or smells. We see, even if the eyes are closed, light streams through the eyelids. And everything that comes in through the sense doors can wake us up, can bring us out of a dreamy state, can bring us back from discursive thinking, can ground us when emotions get high. They remind us, each and every sound and sight and smell and touch and sometimes taste, of what's present now. Breath is part of sensation or touch. So we can utilize the breath for a sound, a sensation in the body, even a smell, to draw us back to the present when we've wandered away. We very tenderly and gently invite ourselves back to whatever we're next aware of that's coming in through the sense doors. We can also choose one, like breath or sensations, where everything else drops to the background and that becomes in the foreground. So that we have a little bit more of a steady, sturdy anchor to pay attention to or to rest the mind on. Either way, keep the intention of softness and space, and either allow the sounds, smells, sights, sensations, breath, to keep you anchored to what's happening now, or choose one. Rest your mind on it for the remainder of our practice. The just be with as much ease as possible in whatever it is that you're choosing to do. think we've done any breath practice before, have we? Or have we done that?
Yeah.
Have we? Okay.
Yeah.
So my intention with what we were, my instructions for what we were practicing in the movement, or mindfulness of the body, I'd rather call it that, was to instigate this idea of finding space and how different ways that we can possibly hold space, create space, refine space, remember space, etc. Both all in all of our, let's say, realms, really, physical, emotional, and mental. Or sometimes they're called sheaths or koshas. Or, you know, there's lots of different words for this, but our facets, it could even be called, these are different components or our different facets. Because, you know, given what we're working with right now in our country and really literally in the world, I don't know if you probably have experienced this, where there are times when there are tragedies or things said or things being done that really aren't appealing to us at all. In fact, are rather harsh to acknowledge, to think about, to look at, to read, to discuss even. And I think what can be very helpful is to remind ourselves of several things. That one is that no matter what we're thinking or feeling, that it's impermanent, whether that's physically, mentally, or emotionally. No matter what's going on in the world, it's impermanent, whether we like it or we don't like it. And how we bring ourselves out of contracting or folding or holding on to either what we really like or what we don't like, our attachments or our aversions, is really up to us. And this is where training the mind comes in very handily. Because if we're not able to draw ourselves back to some sane present moment, of which we can find every time we look around or hear something or taste something or feel something, that we can find something that brings us back to the present moment that's sane. If we can do that, then we're not always contracting around and going into more extreme modes of holding on to something or pushing something away. So let me see if I can clarify that, because even in my own mind that didn't sound so clear. Let's say that we read something that really disturbs us. And there's plenty of that to read right now. What typically might happen in our mind is that we contract around what we just read. It makes us mad. It upsets us. It saddens us. It could even depress us. It could make us feel futile, hopeless, or even confused. We don't normally let that go. You know, oh, well, you know, this is how I feel this moment. I know that this is just a feeling or just a thought. Let it go and move on. We don't normally do that. What we do is we attach, we identify, we over-relate, and we create some conditions in our body, heart, and mind that hold whatever that thought or those emotions are in for, you know, a period of time. So we rehash it over and over in our mind. Or we might say it to one another and we say the same thing over and over. Oh, this makes me mad because... And then we kind of support each other in what makes us angry or upset or what scares us or creates fear, etc. We don't normally step back look at it, oh, these are thoughts, these are feelings, these are sensations, and allow them to have their own say or their own time, but then allow them also to leave, because we've contracted, we tighten. Especially we tighten around, the mind tightens, the body tightens, the heart tightens around things that we feel are unpleasurable or that we don't like. We can even tighten around things that we like. You know, kind of this perverse way that we can be with anything. So rather than getting just allowing ourselves to always get lost, and I'm not talking about 100% of the time, because, you know, look, I mean, things are going to make us angry or upset or sad, and for very good reasons. But rather than being sort of victimized by our own thoughts and emotions all the time, or you know, being slammed around by what somebody else is saying or doing all the time, we can find some ground or reground ourselves if we reestablish and open the sense doors. So that might be, we talked about this a little bit last week, that might be just like feeling your feet on the floor. So you've gotten upset or you've read something or there's something on the news or somebody's even said something to you that you find uncomfortable, you don't like. Well, rather than renegotiating it or rehashing it over and over and over again, you feel your feet on the floor and it gives you an instant of relief, instance of relief. And in that brief moment, your mind has found some space. It's not tight and spun and tangled. For that brief moment, your mind gets clear. Now, it might only be one little moment, but it's a very important moment. It's a really super fundamentally important thing to be able to do, because it can create just enough space to get some perspective. Or let's say, you know, you're reading something or someone's talking to you, something is upsetting or unpleasurable, or you're even, you know, just simply driving in the car and somebody's cut you off and you start going off on that. You know, another thing that we can do is just hear the next sound. Now that could be music, that could be the car honking, the horn honking, that could be the person sitting next to you, whatever it is, that, or the bird that you hear, you know, chirping outside of the car, because sometimes you can even hear the birds. I'm always fascinated by that. You hear a bird in this tree down there. But, you know, it's just some sound that draws us back to now, so that we're not lost in confusion or delusion or some sort of higher emotional state. So it can be sensation, it can be sound, it could be a smell. You know, maybe you smell the air or someone's perfume or the laundry detergent coming up from your clothes if you use something scented, you know, or, you know, you light a stick of incense, or you have some aromatherapy, or you wash your hands with a scented soap. Something that draws your attention, or some smell or scent that draws your attention, brings you right back. Again, it gives the mind, the heart, and the body just a brief moment of space. So it reestablishes our ground, and which then starts to reestablish our sanity and gives us a perspective. So feeling, which is touch, sensations, sounds, smells, and sight. You're having a time, you know, an unpleasant time. You're feeling really sad. Maybe you're even grieving. And you look around and you see, oh wow, there's red. Okay, red. Where else do I see red? Over there, 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 back there. Now, as I'm looking for the red in the room, I'm not lost in my discursive mind, nor am I completely being spun by any kind of emotion. And even if it's just for a second, it gives us a little bit of space. And the trick is to be doing this more often than maybe just once a day. Because these little tiny exquisite moments of space and sanity, when we bring ourselves back to the present moment, and it really doesn't matter how, all add up. Not only do they add up to moments or minutes or maybe even more lengths of time, but they create a memory and they create a pattern in the mind. And what we're doing whenever we're wanting to add a skillful pattern in or skillful condition into our mind or our heart or our body is we're overlaying the more unskillful ones. We may not completely erase the unskillful ones, but we certainly then now have to begin to have choices about what we want to do, depending on how we're thinking, feeling, or being. So we can overlay and sometimes, you know, pretty much erase the unskillful conditions or patterns in the mind or the heart or the body. But it's all about repetition, you know. I mean, this is what we know from neuroscience. Is if we do something over and over and over again, it becomes a habit. And if that something that we're doing over and over and over again is getting indulging in or allowing ourselves to be run away with by negative emotions or strong emotions that we're not controlling, that we lose control over, or thoughts that are negative or unkind or not helpful at all, or fear-based, for instance. The more we allow these kinds of things to run rampant in the landscape of our heart or our mind, they become conditions in the body as well. But the more we allow these kinds of things to get patterned, then the trickier they are to undo. But just as the unskillful habits are hard to undo, the skillful habits are hard to undo if we repeat them. That's the good news. Even if we're just reminding ourselves to relax the body every once in a while, or even if we're just allowing ourselves to remember to breathe and maybe even take some deeper breath and practice some sort of a little breathing technique, because breath actually brings space internally. It not only focuses the mind, you know, it gives the mind something to do and pay attention to, which is, again, coming back to the present moment, like seeing or hearing or feeling or tasting or smelling. It kind of can give us something to do, which is helpful rather than maybe not knowing what to do. It gives us something to do, but it also creates space internally. Not to mention the benefits of the nutrition of breath, you know, the physical components of it. They're great for all parts of us, really, let's say. And we can also utilize our imagination. So the other thing that I was suggesting was to literally try to soften your body or imagine breath as a bubble or bubbles, so that, you know, the container of the body, when it's allowing for these bubbles, doesn't contract because then they'll pop. You know, just even that image might help. Or coaxing yourself, imagining your heart swelling, or coaxing yourself and imagining your mind to be like the sky. I mean, using our imagination is really just another way of being intentional. And so if we're intentional and we utilize our imagination, then we're helping ourselves along again to come back to being in a more sane and maybe peaceful, at least more open space, even again if that's just for 1 or 2 seconds. So I was thinking about this today because last night and today there was a lot on the news, and you know, I was kind of feeling my mind going either, wow, I really like that, and oh, I wish there were more, or, oh, I really don't like that, and this makes me a little nervous, a lot nervous, you know, and I wish there were none of it. And I could really, you know, I really was sensing these almost polar opposites in my mind of attachment, I want more, aversion, I want less, oh my God, what are we going to do? Sort of feeling, you know, and just kind of getting bounced around with it, and thinking, wow, you know, okay, well, how can I hold these opposites of feeling and these two realities, really, that are going on right now? You know, I mean, these are not just in my mind. But how can I hold these almost polar opposites? And I just felt like I needed to remember space. And that really helped. So I sat and I softened and I tried to open and I felt a little bit more at ease, like the world wasn't caving in on me. Because, you know, for even just a couple of minutes at a time, we can really feel that way. Like, oh my God, you know, this is painful. This is scary. This is uncomfortable. This is really unpleasant. Is this true? It's real, you know. Not just about our situations, but you know, things that we've induced ourselves. So, because I, when I remember space, and I do more often than not now because I've trained myself to for the last 35 years, but, you know, I just really, today it made a big impact on me how beneficial it is to remember it and to coax it in and to imagine and to have the intention to stay soft, even though, you know, what I might like or dislike is very prominent. And also to have that memory and recognition, I think, more than memory, memory and recognition, because the direct experience is what allows for recognition, but to remember that everything's impermanent, that all things are always fixing or changing and not fixed. And so when we take ourselves or something way, way seriously, just remember that in the next moment it's going to be a little different, maybe even radically different. And hopefully with these kinds of insights and remembering, we find our way with just a bit more ease, no matter what the situation is in here. Because no matter what the situations are outside of us, it's just the situation in here that really makes any kind of difference, doesn't it? And if we can hold whatever is coming and going, whether it's our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own things that are happening in our own bodies, or a combination of what's going on outside and inside, with some space, and at least try to relax the body around it, what's going on, and then, you know, life isn't as difficult. Yeah, Matt.
I think the spaciousness is very important. And, you know, the t-shirts that show the universe and there's a little arrow saying, you are here.
No, and but I can imagine.
Sometimes I look at a starry sky and just imagine how many stars and how many solar systems and how many planets with rudimentary life, and we take our own life, our own little human life on Earth so seriously. I have, you know, some trilobites next to my bed that are 400 million years old, and it gives me such a sense of comfort, this sense of time and the sense of space. many people wonder what where we are right now will look like in 10 million years. And because we always look at back when we study evolution, we go back. But now evolutionary theorists are talking about Anthropocene, the little layer of our life here with parking lots and metal cars. They're going to, when the future anthropologists come and look at this little layer of our life, it, you know, this life itself has been going on for 4 billion years. Our planetary system from the Big Bang is 10 billion years. It's the sense of time and the sense of space. Our nearest star is 4.5 light years away. So, I mean, it seems like, I mean, when the orange-haired guy was talked about in November 8th, I could look at my trilobites and look at a starry sky and say, what does this matter? The temporary nature of us. And we don't know how long our species will be here.
Yeah.
And but in the moment, it seems like everyone goes around saying the sky is falling. Dentists say that after November 8th, they had an influx of people with tight jaw problems. that my wife's dentist said,
why wait till November 8th?
She had never heard him talk like this. And she brought up her bad jaw, and he said, this, since November 8th, everybody's got a clenched jaw. So that's the other thing, we tighten up rather than see and expand. We defend ourselves as if we can. Anyway.
Well, I mean, if this timeline provides space in your mind, then that's a good skillful means, isn't it? So whether it be a trilobite or a sense of humor, you know, it's that perspective that you gain when you have a little bit of space, you know, because when we're too tight around something, there's no perspective. We're consumed, you know. We've over-identified, and I think that's partially what you're saying too. Is that if we over-identify with just something that's happening right now, then it is everything. There's no perspective. There's no other view. You know, the view gets so small that that's all there is. So, you know, a skillful means can be something that's coming in through the five sense doors. It can also be like this. You know, or looking up at the stars. I mean, well, that would include sight and et cetera. But, you know, I think that it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, there's techniques and skillful means that come from certain traditions that, you know, what I'm speaking of comes more from the Buddhist tradition. But this is coming from a tradition that you're making up right now. And if it works, it's really great. You know, we want to remember that each of us has the power to change our mind with something that's harmless, not harmful. And so that's really great that you shared that.
You know, on that subject, of course, I was hit by a brick in my head on November 8th, right? And I think about 95% of people in our area were hit. But then I thought that there are some areas where people on outside that look like us, they're biologically identical to us, and they felt the same way 8 years ago, and now they are elated. and they speak the same language, they drive the same cars, they live in similar houses, but they feel the opposite. That totally just perplexes me, but in a way, it sort of, it's ironic and even funny in a way that we feel so opposite.
Well, I think what's important, and you know, you might agree with this, is that we don't narrow our view to what's familiar, and that we don't shut down around things that we disagree with, you know, or people or ways that we disagree. Because the thing is, if we can stay more spacious in our hearts, then we're happier. You know, if we have to separate ourselves from others, we're not happy. And if we dislike or hate others, we're not happy either. So even if someone's really different, you know, maybe you don't have to, you can't love them right now. But certainly, if we want to reduce our own suffering and free ourselves to be more at ease, then it is worthy of considering that we, the more we disassociate or separate or hate or even just strongly dislike someone else, that only hurts us. And so even, you know, when we think about space in the heart, strong dislike or even just a little dislike, but certainly hate or what happens with, you know, separation is isolation, that's what tightens the heart. So it, you know, it's helpful to remind ourselves, well, yeah, I may completely disagree and I feel like maybe I'm even on a different planet sometime, but these are these kinds of feelings are not skillful, they're not helpful, and they're harmful. And so, you know, even just in, and I mean selfishly in a very positive way, we need to think, oh, well, what am I doing to myself with these kinds of feelings? Do I want to feel that way? No. No. And so no matter what our views are, no matter what's going on, you know, really all we can work with is how much little, how little or how much space we can allow for ourselves internally. And the really great thing about space is not only do we feel better, but we're more clear. We have access to insight. We're not reacting. We can respond. We can make, we can take wise action. Our speech is a little bit more considered. You know, I think it just helps us to be better people. And boy, does the world need that. Inner world and our shared world right now. So we do our best, you know, and remind ourselves, and we start to feel that tightening, that constriction, that shutting down, no matter what's causing it, something inside, completely inside, you know, just in here, or something coming from the outside that affects us that way. Is to just come back to some sane moment where we get a little bit more perspective or just even perspective at all. Doesn't mean that, you know, we need to be passive or not care. And it doesn't mean we have to like everything that's going on or everybody that's saying whatever's going on, but we certainly don't want to sour ourselves. So hopefully something in there was helpful. You know, if there was something that you felt tonight that did provide you with just a little bit of softness and space, try it again and try it every time you remember, or try to remember more. It's like that Zen koan that drives me a little nuts, is remember not to forget. I'm like, well, if I remembered, I wouldn't have forgotten. Anyway, just to, you know, remind ourselves as frequently as we possibly can to have some ease and spaciousness inside. speaking of spaciousness inside,